The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, doing what he does here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here of Joe Bucks Fan. And good times are happening, Ira, except for you and your beloved Chiefs. I felt for you during that classic game, Ira. Let me just ask you, was that perhaps the greatest second half of football in the history of the playoffs?
It was one hell of a fourth quarter, I can tell you that. I won't speak for overtime because poor Patrick Mahomes never got his mitts on the football. There were times in that fourth quarter when I was feeling very confident about the Chiefs. See, they kept going up by 4 points. The Patriots were going up by 3 points. Big difference. But that darn Tom Brady. Don't get me going, Steve, about Bob Sutton. Lee, you see my tweets every freaking week. I'm talking about Bob Sutton. I just found out today that Jack Del Rio might be closing in on the D coordinator in Cincinnati. Don't do it, Jack. Come a little further west to Kansas City. We need you. I tweeted out after the game. This is going to test Andy Reid's loyalty.
Yeah, it
kind of reminded me of Cutter with Mike Smith. You can't waste that kind of offense. You got the best offense in football. You scored 31 points Sunday night, and it wasn't enough. Lee, am I seeing things to suggest that New England is not, you know, blessed with all kinds of playmakers on offense, besides having the greatest quarterback of all time? I understand that. But Gronkowski's like three-quarters of what he used to be. Edelman doesn't scare anybody, although he's sure-handed. And, you know, they got other guys out there that nobody ever heard of.
Hogan.
And meanwhile, Hogan. He made a fantastic one-handed catch, which you missed while you were watching Croft over there. Steve, this one, you know, look, we're less than 24 hours, since the loss. Everybody wants to see Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
Except for the dopes in Boston.
I mean, the way I look at it, Steve, if you really be objective, and it's tough for me to be objective, but, Lee, I'm going to tell you something about the game that you missed somehow on Sunday night.
I refuse to watch the Patriots.
The Pats outplayed them. The numbers don't lie. 36 first downs, 23-minute advantage in time of possession. You know what that means? They own the line of scrimmage. And as I wrote in my Monday column, that's something that Bruce Arians is going to look at and say, I want that. I want that. Physicality. I know Dee Ford was offside on the play of the game, Steve. The Chiefs would have won the game, but he was offside. And they called they threw the flag. It's not the kind of situation we had in New Orleans with a terrible no call that we're going to be talking about for 2 weeks now. Yeah. By the way, Sean Payton handled that whole thing with a lot more class than I would have. I would have been dropping F-bombs on air.
Well, we don't know what
to drop. I get fined. I can't believe how well Payton
that's
held
true.
Up after that.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
He was looking to punch Dirk Cutter, but he couldn't find him.
So, Chiefs season's over, Lee. Hell of a season. They got the home thing monkey off their back by beating the Colts. But I think they got better talent than New England, but they didn't show. They didn't show up in the first half, Steve. Inexcusable.
Well, Sage, look, for the fans who don't realize, you bleed Chiefs red going back to the 60s. They were your team in Brooklyn.
Ain't done a darn thing in 49 years. Not a darn thing.
Every time they have an AFC championship game, they're classics, but not for the right reasons for Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
And today you're wearing your Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon red polo shirt. Chiefs red.
That's right.
But your sadness, is your wife sad too, or does she feel bad for you? How does that go?
I believe she went into the bedroom to read midway through the third quarter.
She's happy your football season's over.
And that's just when the Chiefs started to come on. So I didn't mind her going in there because it changed the momentum of the game. I had better karma when she was in the bedroom instead of watching it with me.
She's probably happy that you don't have any more movie conflicts.
Meanwhile, she hears me screaming through the door for the next hour and a half. What? How the hell can you go offsides? What are you, crazy?
If I was a Chiefs fan, I wouldn't be able to function today after that call.
Steve, during the overtime when the Chiefs never got their mitts on the football, because the Pats won the coin toss and said, we want the football. Brady converted 3 third-and-10s. Three. Mm-hmm. I believe two of them were to Edelman. Maybe one was to Gronkowski.
Well, he was completing third downs
all game. They completed 13 of 19 on third down. Have you ever seen 13 third down conversions in a game? I mean, that's very, very rare.
Now, And obviously, I didn't see the game because I refused to watch the Patriots. And next makes the umpteenth Super Bowl I won't be watching. Even though I'm going to cover the Super Bowl next week, right. I won't be watching.
You're going to be looking for Ronald Darby on Media Day?
Man, got it. No, but I will be hunting down Mark Barron.
I understand.
You know, thank you, Lovie Smith. Did I read correctly the Chiefs only converted one third down?
No, that's not right.
Okay.
No, that is,
I was
going to
say,
right.
That's preposterous.
But they had 47 snaps, the Chiefs. New England had 94.
Ooh.
Double. Exactly double.
Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to mention about that are when I saw that snap total, which was obvious as you were watching the game, the Chiefs just, or the Patriots just moving the ball. Back in October, Dirk Cutter's fighting Buccaneers had 90-plus snaps against the Browns.
Which was an overtime game.
Yeah, overtime game at home. So overtime, you know, whatever. Anyway. So Cutter talked about how gassed the guys were toward the end of the game. The offensive linemen, was tough.
Wouldn't the defense also be gassed, the Cleveland defense?
I didn't see anybody on the Patriots offensive line gassed in a high-leverage, high-pressure playoff game. And it's, 4 degrees?
Brilliant performance by the Pats offensive line. Zero sacks for a team that had 52. Zero. I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie Dr. Strangelove, but there's famous the speech that George C. Scott gives as a general.
One.
And he's talking about nuclear war, and he's talking to the president. He goes, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed, but no more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops. I mean, it's a brilliant line. And I felt that way. I don't think Brady got his hair mussed. And the one time they laid a hand on him, Steve, they called roughing the passer. It was a terrible call. He still had the ball in his hands.
It's always fun sitting right next to you when you're screaming at me. That's
screaming,
fantastic.
Screaming.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. The game ball goes to the New England offensive line. They ran whenever they wanted, and Brady was never hit the ground in 46 pass attempts. How does that happen?
And further pain for Bucs fans, of course. They get to watch James White convert all these third downs
Every
left and right.
Every time he touched the ball, he's converting a third.
I got to ask you, I saw that Twitter you put out. Who the hell's James White?
James White, Super Bowl hero from 2 years ago with the Patriots.
Excellent pass catcher.
And phenomenal third down back. And one of the rare guys, well, first I bring him up because he was drafted after Charles Sims and after Devontae Freeman in that draft. And James White is one of the rare guys who actually got, as a running back, who actually got a lucrative second contract from Belichick, who hates paying running backs. He won't do it, but he paid White. And White makes like $4.5 million a year, and he was a fourth round pick.
Tremendous safety valve, third down guy.
Remember what I told you earlier? It's been umpteen years since I've watched a Super Bowl live. Now, when the Eagles beat the Patriots, I watched the replay. I refuse to watch the Patriots because I know what's going to happen. Same with Alabama. Same with Duke. Cubs are a little bit different. I have such a hatred for them. And people are like, well, why do you not watch these games? I'm like, I don't need to be aggravated. I watch sports for entertainment. 95% of the time, we know what's going to happen with the Patriots. We know what's going to happen with Alabama. We know what's going to happen with Duke. There's no suspense, and it just aggravates the living hell out of you. So it's like, what's the point? That's why I was watching 60 Minutes and Steve Croft. Here's a little trivia for you. You may remember this. You're not too much older than I am. Remember once upon a time, Steve Croft had the lofty job of doing a children's news program on CBS on Saturday mornings?
I don't remember that.
I do. He went from kids' news to 60 Minutes.
Unbelievable.
That's big.
Steve, did Dwight catch like 12 or 14 balls the week before against the Chargers? I think he did.
This is just what he does. He caught 80-something balls this season. And, fantasy players know the guy, but he's just a good football player. He's just a good player. And Charles Sims is out of the league. The irony is that Belichick, after the Bucs cut Sims, he brought in Sims for a look and said, no thanks.
Well, I got one for you.
That happens a lot to Buck rejects.
Well,
Not all the time, though.
Offensive rejects, not defensive rejects.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lovie Smith. I'm going to ask you this, Iris, since we're talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots and running backs that the Bucs simply cannot find or develop. Would you go after a former Chiefs running back by the name of Kareem Hunt?
There would be an initial backlash from a segment of Buck Nation. A segment.
Sure.
That backlash will last 1 week until Kareem Hunt rushes for 119 yards, and then he will be fully embraced by Buck Nation. Now, I'm going to say this. You got to remember this. This back that the Chiefs have used in Kareem Hunt's place, the guy looks very good.
Not bad.
Not bad. I think they just gave him a second contract.
Think you're right.
I believe.
Williams?
Williams. He scored 3 touchdowns on Sunday. Now, he's not as good a runner as Kareem Hunt.
He's not close.
but he's a good football player.
Yeah,
Steve.
Catches
the
ball.
He had over 100 yards against the Colts in the first playoff game, but he scored three times. So anyway, my point is, you know, you got to be careful because the Chiefs have so many weapons and Reed's very imaginative. So is Bieniemy. That he might not be quite as good as he looks out of a KC uniform.
That's fair.
But the guy's a good football player. No question about it. He's being linked to the Bucs and several other teams.
Is he being linked? I did not know that.
The Bucs are one of the teams that are being mentioned as would have interest in Kareem Hunt. He's a different kind of back than Barber. Much more explosive than Barber. Look, that's up
multi-dimensional.
It's up to Bruce Arians. I think ultimately it'd be up to ownership to weigh in on a Kareem Hunt. He's that important. And then you got the off-the-field behavior factor. I wouldn't be surprised if Arians has interest in Kareem Hunt. I would not.
Well, obviously Arians isn't coming here, and he's even said it. He's not coming here to build anything. He's coming here to win, turn it around. This organization, you know, it's a chicken or the egg theory. Either they can't find a running back, don't know how to judge a running back, or they don't know how to develop. And one of the two, maybe both, but it's sort of a chicken or egg. But you know what? Arians is to win now. There's no question about
it. Kid's going to be suspended. He's going to be suspended.
Well, that gets me to my point. We don't know how long, number one. Number two, and I agree, he'll be suspended. I'd be shocked if he's not. But once his suspension's up, if he's eligible, what's the problem?
I think Arians would say he comes with a clean slate. That's the line guys use.
And for the people screaming bloody murder that the Bucs need to have Boy Scouts on their team. You know, Dominic tried that.
And Hunt did own up to his... to his problem.
Well, I'm just saying that sets me up here. You could take a negative and turn it into a massive positive. You know, there are all kinds of NFL players that got into trouble and redeemed themselves. I mean, a guy spent in jail for torturing dogs, and now no one ever brings up anymore. Michael Vick. And I'm not comparing, obviously, women to dogs. Don't be idiotic. However, what I'm saying is you could turn a negative into a positive. I'm sure he'll have to go through counseling of some sort. It's mandated by the league. I'm sure of that. But he can work with women's groups, especially these women's shelters for abused women. He could do a lot of good from a wrong. So why should we condemn a man for life when, number one, he could benefit the Bucks? Number two, you could set him up to do a hell of a lot of positive in the community that a normal schlub like me or you or Steve, well, maybe not you, but me or Steve could never do because of his celebrity status. He could raise money, raise awareness, things of that nature. I think you, with the proper program, you could really do a lot of positive for both Hunt and for people in need.
Doesn't Arian strike you as a guy who believes in giving the guys a second chance? He does to me.
Yeah, I think he's proud of that mindset that he has. To set it up for the fans who are a little fuzzy, Kareem Hunt is on the commissioner's sort of...
exempt list.
Don't touch me list yet. I don't know what to do with you yet.
Pending a suspension.
Yeah. And so...
spit list.
But, yeah, exactly. So, however, Adam Schefter reported that Hunt, and it's been reported elsewhere, but anyway, Hunt has been in daily, which I thought was interesting, daily anger counseling since November. He's been very active in that, and supposedly everybody's very pleased with what he's been doing. And Schefter says that several teams are interested in him. The Chiefs, or the Bears head coach, Nagy, who worked for the Chiefs, came out and said, we'd like to have him.
They got two good backs.
Right, which is even more interesting because they have a couple of good backs. But Nagy said, you know, I've spent a lot of time around this guy. And because he's not because
Nagy was with the Chiefs.
Right. But because the Chiefs cut him, anybody can talk about Kareem Hunt. So the next time Bruce Arians is out there or Jason Light, he can be asked, what about Kareem
Hunt?
He's
not under contract.
Right.
No tampering.
Exactly. There's no tampering. So that makes it even more interesting. Now, Schefter hinted recently that it's going well, and it seemed he was sort of hinting that the league is going to release this guy and announce his suspension, whatever that is. It's going to be 6 games because that's what you get under the policy.
And
Max. Nobody's
making any excuses for Kareem Hunt's actions.
No. So if he gets
revolting, no question.
If he gets released for 6 games and is signed, he is able to go to OTAs. He is able to go to training camp. He just will be like Jameis. He'll have to sit out
around the team
6 games. So it's interesting for the Bears, like you said, because they have Jordan Howard. They got Tariq Cohen. Howard's got... you know, it's just been a workhorse, and
he's the chain and change of pace guy.
He would have to be pissed off if they bring in Kareem Hunt. Yeah. You would think that they would trade Howard at the deadline, depending on what Hunt looks like.
He's a power back. Yeah, he's a power
back. But Hunt's going to be interesting, and he's not going to command a lot of money.
Exactly.
And, man, the Bucs need a running back in bad. And you know what? I'm not making light of it, but I am. But, you know, maybe he'll slap and kick Ronald Jones into shape. So maybe there's always that chance.
That's a fair point.
I think if the Bucs can straighten out this running game, and it's not all about the running back, Lee, you know, we've talked about it. I'm not impressed with the O-line. I think it needs a serious upgrade. And you know what's more important? Bruce Arians thinks it needs a serious upgrade. It's the only part of the team that he's commented on, and he slapped them around, and he hasn't seen the film yet. What does that tell you? So I think if they straighten out this running game, if, it's a big if, we ain't seen it in 3 years, but if they do, between the offensive line and another running back, this is a hell of an offense.
Could be.
This could be one hell of an offense.
Could be. I'm glad you brought that up, Sage. First, let's take a quick break and hear from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Get cash instantly for your trade during the Instacash trade event at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy, a big supporter of the podcast and of all things JoeBucksFan.com, he is going to start your new year off right with up to $15,000 off 2018 Cadillacs, or save big with 0% APR financing for 72 months. You heard right. Get instant cash for your trade, then upgrade with up to $15,000 off or 0% for 72 months at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. And at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard, up to $18,000 off on remaining 2018 models. You can view their inventory at edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Of course, the 2019 XT4 has arrived, and it is beautiful. All-new 2019 Cadillac XT4 Luxury, $399 per month lease. Get all the details at the dealership, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ira has been out to the showroom there, where he famously spoke on the podcast about hanging out with John Cooper, Lightning head coach. Of course, everything at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon is backed by Morse. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. All right, we're back, Ira. It's so fantastic to have all of your work presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, our great friends there. Get to EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And it's really time for some new shirts for you. You need a plaid gear.
Plaid in front of DeKemper. He's still thinking about that shirt.
Lee doesn't like plaid on television.
I wore a Favre jersey on the Brooks show last week.
You did?
I got
you
some
did.
Comments, although I don't want to be derogatory here, but a couple of Bucks fans.
They didn't like the fact I tucked it in. That was
faux pas.
Poor fashion.
Yeah, the jersey faux pas.
The fashionista. But there was a couple of people out there who didn't know why you were wearing a Ryan Griffith jersey.
I think I explained that on the show.
You did. And we you mentioned on the podcast that you might bring it out there. So
Real quick.
That was fun.
If you had a Lindsey Nelson plaid sport jacket, that'd be cool. But the plaid shirt.
That's been buried in the back of the closet. It's back.
But Lindsey Nelson plaid coat, that'd be cool.
Lindsey Nelson was famous for those weirdo outfits.
You should ask Joe Madden for his. He used to wear that Rays plaid coat. The blue and white and the yellow.
Should I borrow it?
Ask him for it. He's not going to wear it anymore.
You know, I'll see him at Ava when I go with Arians. We'll have dinner, and there you go.
Yes, we should just mention, and you'll tell us about it after it happens, but you've got some private time scheduled with Bruce Arians this month. So, Sage,
I'm shocked that Steve didn't mention who Lindsey Nelson is. We all know,
former New York Mets announcer. With Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner.
And what else did he do?
Football.
And football, yeah.
What kind of football?
College football, I believe.
Notre Dame. Like growing up, and everybody in the Midwest could tell you this, at least in my little corner of the world, every Sunday morning was those rebroadcast Notre Dame games.
Wow.
It was condensed down to an hour, and you always hear Lindsey Nelson, we advanced 6 minutes into the third quarter with Notre Dame having the ball on the 40-yard line of Georgia Tech.
So they were playing, those were the years that they would play Notre Dame. I mean, they would play USC. Great rivalry.
All those games. Like back then, it's weird.
John McKay,
Before
he became to the Bucks.
Back then, there was weird TV rules for college football. Outside of bowl games, a team could only be shown on TV twice. Now they could do
that's sort of like the Buck rule on national TV now.
Exactly.
So they could replay games forever. But what Notre Dame did, which was smart, was I know they shipped it to New York. Obviously, Chicago. They flew these game tapes to all these little Mickey Mouse TV stations, local TV stations, and they're looking for programming, free programming.
And this is before ESPN?
Yes, sir. Yeah. This is like 60s and 70s. Yeah. They would, every Notre Dame game, it'd be condensed to an hour Sunday mornings. And Lindsey Nelson was behind
Steve,
the mic.
This was before your time.
Jerome Heavens.
Well, I didn't watch much college football as a kid regardless, but of course I was a big Mets fan, and Lindsey Nelson was known for that jacket, which is how we got here to begin with.
Absolutely.
So that was a hell of a three-man.
What's on your mind, Steven? What you got?
Drunken broadcast booth that the Mets had back then. All right, Sage,
Bob Murphy.
Lee mentioned explosive offense. You said hell of an offense, so I'm going to get to this first before we get back to something from the weekend. Cameron Brait, we learned, had hip surgery, arthroscopic hip surgery, which is not getting carved up. That's in and out, same day. But they're saying, you know, 3 months, and you never know. Hip surgery's hip surgery. What do you think of that? What's your perspective on all that?
Well, I agree with you. I don't think it's a major concern. Not major, but I think it's interesting because from the tea leaves that we can pick up, Lee, and I don't think this is projecting very far, I think he was dealing with this most, if not all, of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe this came in November 27th. So to hear Brait talk about it, and he was not specific that it was a hip, he didn't want to give away anything, but now it's out there. Lee, I think it curtailed his production. He only caught 30 balls.
It's fair to say.
But for fans that are anxious to get rid of Cameron Brait, I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake.
I don't know if people are anxious, but what they're doing is I think they're trying to
They're looking at his salary.
Yeah, because the Bucs are going to be in a little bit of a pinch with the salary, and they're thinking, okay, we trade him. You might be able to get a decent draft pick, and with that draft pick, you could fill a hole. But here's the issue, Ira. It doesn't appear to be a major thing as we're speaking here on January 20th. However, what was a position of depth and strength for the Bucs, you almost wonder now. O.J. Howard has yet to play a full season. Brait now has a bum hip, and I don't think that's insignificant. This honcho character, he decided to retire from football, and now he's going to be coaching at Memphis.
Well, the answer to that is not to get rid of Cameron Brait if you have a depth problem.
I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is all of a sudden a position that looked to be strong and deep, now you have to wonder. All of a sudden right now, your healthiest tight end is Anthony Onclair.
I understand.
So what do you think of that?
Well, I want to make this point specifically about Brait. It'll get me into a wide receiver, too. Arians is up front. He's not fooling around. It is all about number three to an extent. You can't overstate it. His development, his elevation to the next level. If he's Ben Roethlisberger, he's got to play like Ben Roethlisberger. Forget about resembling him physically. You got to play like Ben Roethlisberger. And in that regard, Steve, you can't overstate Winston's confidence in Cameron Brait, his rapport with Cameron Brait. It's developed over the years, and it's strong. You don't take that away from Jameis Winston, and conversely, it leads me to my second point.
That's a good point, by the way.
You gotta dump DeSean Jackson. I don't want to hear any nonsense about reaching out. I don't want to hear about Arians sending him a telegram on Western Union. It doesn't make sense.
Morse code.
Steve, it doesn't make sense to bring back DeSean Jackson when, you're right, Lee, they might have some salary cap issues if they want to add certain guys or if they want to sign Donovan Smith to another contract. I don't know if that's true, but we'll see. But you can dump DeSean Jackson. You can save money in the process. And I think if you bring him back, it's going to cause some problems. For whatever reason, Winston can't hit him. And if he comes back, I think you're in danger of Winston targeting him to prove that he can hit him. And I think it's going to screw
things up. The whole thing is just so stupid.
It's stupid.
I'm so sick of it. It's beyond stupid.
Let's put it to bed.
For one major reason. One big, big reason. DeSean Jackson, 1-1A. One, he doesn't want to be here. Two, if you bring him back and he has a good year, then he's a free agent and you lose him. The Bucs aren't winning the Super Bowl next season, in case anybody is confused. It's not going to happen. So what are you doing? You're just playing with one DeSean Jackson for 1 year? It's ludicrous. That's it. I don't know what else to say. They have plenty of weapons. I think, though, I'll throw this out there. I will see what you think. The chemistry angle is important, right? Arians already said he wants Humphreys back. Jameis has great chemistry with him and with Mike Evans.
Trust.
Trust and chemistry. Mike Evans, we all know the deal. But I don't think Arians is going to look at it like, you need chemistry with all your receivers. Hell, Carson Palmer came in here, didn't know anybody, and was lighting it up. You know, this happens all the time. You know, you run through receivers, you work it out. I don't know if he's going to have the same attitude. I don't know.
I think Braid is a very effective red zone threat, Lee.
Yes.
And I don't think you treat that cavalierly. Red zone efficiency is an important cog.
Scoring points.
And should be.
Yeah.
Touchdowns instead of field goals.
Yes.
And I think Braid can help you in that regard. He's got 20 in the last 3 years. You can't dismiss that.
Related to DeSean Jackson, don't take us the wrong way. I just know that you're not an NFL Network aficionado like Steve and I are. You know, you have higher goals, higher aspirations. You're a cultured individual.
And I love me some Peter Schrager over there. Hey, you know.
Yeah, you're not anti-NFL Network.
He's a big Buck fan.
I think he is.
Yeah.
What do you think of this smear campaign? And that's the only way I could describe it. This smear campaign that's going on with the NFL Network and Jameis. The reason why I say that, you know, William McGinnis, who's not exactly a warm individual, I've dealt with him at Super Bowl Media Day before. It was sort of like Steve's, and I just got to witness this personally, Steve's interaction, if you want to call it that, with Randy Moss.
Can I use the word gruff? Gruff?
Dismissive.
Yeah, dismissive.
Like, get away from me.
Nice. Dismissive.
You know, like a wave of the hand. Get away. Don't bother me, boy. Like Foghorn Leghorn. Don't bother me, boy. But anyway, William McGinnis, at least he was honest and up front. He goes, I got a relationship with DeSean Jackson. And he goes on like, oh, you know, they got to have DeSean Jackson back. It's all Jameis's fault, blah, 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 blah. Then a couple days later, Saturday morning, Steve Smith gets on there, just unloads on Jameis. Oh, DeSean Jackson's mistreated. He's misunderstood. If Jameis get his head out of his rear end. None of these people, not Colleen Wolf, not Garoppolo, who should know better, not this Robinson character, the Penn State quarterback, think he had a cup of coffee as a fullback with Sal. None of these guys bring up, none, how DeSean Jackson had gotten hassles with coaches, physical altercations, blew off meetings, destroyed a Christmas setup because his card game was interrupted. He had to go to meetings, slept in meetings, didn't take notes. None of them bring this credit, none. It's all Jameis. Jameis this, Jameis that. You know, it's a smear campaign.
And as Steve knows, and Steve, you can talk about this.
I know this? How do I know? How do you know I know?
Because you know what goes on behind the scenes. You're good at the politics. Steve, these guys have agendas, these
ding,
broadcasters.
Ding, ding.
They have agendas. They have buddies. And they talk up, you know, the buddy's point of view, and they don't give the full story.
And here's a question for you. Does anyone from the Bucs call these guys at NFL Network and say, look, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. Who's going to fix this? I don't think anybody does.
Oh, by the way, and they're working for Team Glazer. You know, they own a piece of that network. You know, 30-second piece. But to Steve's point, and you're right. You're absolutely right, Ira. There's no question about it. They have agendas. They're not journalists. But there are journalists on that panel. Like I said, Colleen Wolf, did she ever come in, say, well, wait a minute here, there's reports.
There's two sides to the story.
Thank you, nothing. Garoppolo. Garoppolo's how many years was he with USA Today? He's a reporter. He doesn't say anything. I mean, this is a smear campaign. I'm not saying Jameis is an angel, but I'll give you another one not too many people know about. And I'm not going to say his name because I don't know if he ever wrote this story. But you know him. I know him. A former Bucs beat writer swears on a stack of Bibles. He told me this one time. Swore on a stack of Bibles that Munkin told him DeSean Jackson used to have cliff notes of plays tucked in his socks because he didn't know the playbook. And all of a sudden, Jameis can't hit him, and that's Jameis' fault. Meanwhile, the guy doesn't know plays. Come on. And it's a complete smear campaign on Jameis.
And Steve, who's in the middle, behind the scenes, pulling strings? Agents.
Of course.
Always agent.
Ira, it's time for you to have a knish with Colleen Wolf and set her straight. That's what you need to do.
She's a Philly chick, so some scrapple.
It's a little scrapple.
You got to get her in line, Ira. You know, I had a fun fact for you. Just a fun little fact, Ira, because I know you love original research, as you call it, even though I'm not really sure how original it is. But Dirk Cutter's offense last season, now, there was one defensive touchdown by the Bucs last year. But Dirk Cutter's offense scored the exact same number of points as Mike Sullivan's 2012 Buccaneers offense.
Oh,
that is shocking to me.
Exact same number of points on the offensive side of the ball. Interesting
stuff.
That
was Shiano's first season.
Yep.
And they won seven games, Lee. They won seven games. Yeah, they won seven games.
The Fighting Shianos went 6-4.
Freeman as the quarterback, right?
So
didn't have nearly the array of targets.
Frankly, they had great targets. Vincent Jackson was a Pro Bowl season. Mike Williams was one of the better number twos in the league. They had targets. You don't think of it in those terms of, hey, they scored the same amount of
points.
That's
good
research
over
like
there,
that.
Steven.
All right, Ira.
I take it back. I just said Blunt ran for 1,000 yards that year. He did not. It was 2010.
There you go.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doug Martin was his big Pro Bowl rookie season. So, Sage, yes. Real quick, wanted to get your take because, you know, it's all over sports radio. It's been chit-chatted everywhere.
No! FCC's going to come out.
The whole, what's your take, your Sage take, 41st season covering the NFL on this instant replay stuff that's going on out there. We all saw what happened against the Saints.
Lee, I said it to Rich McKay on the phone.
Look at you, name dropper.
6 weeks ago.
Six weeks ago.
I said it to Rich McKay. The only time I can reach him is when he's driving home from Flowery Branch. He's got an hour drive. Because Flowery Branch is in the middle of nowhere. It's
that's
way
what
north
I've heard.
Of Atlanta.
Yeah, north of Atlanta.
And so he's driving back to his house, and that's when you can get him. And I said it to him 6 weeks ago. I said, you have a problem. Not because you're an executive with the Atlanta Falcons, because you're the head of the competition committee. Every year, and he's going to do it again. In March in Phoenix. And I don't think I'm going
to
be there. That's a whole nother subject.
Well, I got to talk to him about
that. Will be there. But that's under discussion. It's an evolving story.
It's called Squeezy Nichols?
It's fluid. Okay. It's a fluid situation. And I'm even willing to pull it off with his driving.
Like, oh.
Anyway.
It's been a while since used that line.
He's going to stand up because Steve's seen him do it in March. And he's going to give his little, you know, after Goodell gets up there, he's going to give his state of the NFL. And he's going to say, another tremendous year by the NFL, and he's going to cite the stats about how close the games are, how many games are once within one score, and it's going to be like 45% to 50%, you know, how many new teams make the playoffs.
And meanwhile, Saints fans are chugging Hurricanes.
Yeah. How many new teams make the playoffs, how many teams went from last to first, and those are all good things, you know, legitimate. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what makes the NFL so popular. 5-6 new teams every year make the playoffs.
Except here.
But I told him, you have a problem. And I specifically said...
You said that to Goodell.
I said, no, this is McKay.
Okay.
And he goes, what's that? And I said, pass interference. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. One, you've skewed the rules, not screwed the rules. You've skewed the rules in such a degree that nobody can play pass defense. Can't do it. Guys don't turn around anymore. Their backs to the guy. They can't do it. And every time the ball's on the ground from a pass, your fans are looking for a flag.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. Pass interference is deciding games. Calls, non-calls. This was 6 weeks ago. He goes, what do you want to do about it? I said, you got to adjust the rules. You got to tweak them. Let guys hit receivers 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. Let them reroute guys.
Go back to Mel Blunt rule.
He didn't want to buy that or whatever. And then we come to Sunday's game, and again, how Sean Payton handled it, I can't believe how classy he was, because I don't think he's very classy to begin with.
Yeah.
He says he's still looking for Dirk Cutter. He should be looking for Al Riveron and strangle the guy. Horrible call, Steve. Horrible call. If the call's made, as it should be, the Saints are representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Very likely.
You can't get worse than that, Lee, from a league standpoint. You can't.
Well,
so they have to address this.
I agree.
It's a big, big problem.
A couple things. One of which was, I don't know if you realized it when you were recounting your conversation. You like that word, recount.
Nice.
You're recounting your conversation with McKay. You said how defensive backs aren't even turning the ball. What happened in that particular play we're talking about?
If the linebacker's
looking for the ball, he's got to pick six. He's scoring. The game's over.
Never turned
for
around.
The Rams. Yes, that's exactly right. So, I mean, that was you're a visionary, what you're telling McKay. Now, about the play specifically.
Oh, hold on. Let me interrupt that. You know who does turn around? Freaking New England. They usually turn around.
Yeah.
And I think I heard something that just sounds mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. I thought I heard somebody say this morning that New England was only called for 5 pass interference calls all regular season.
Wow.
That would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's called accountability from the head coach.
It's called coaching.
Thank you. It's called coach. Now, speaking of Belichick, for a couple years now at these owners' meetings, he's been adamant. He's really been pressing the league to allow all plays to be reviewable. Now, a lot of people, when they first hear that, they freak out. Oh, my God, games will be 5 hours long. No, you still have the same number of challenges. So it wouldn't extend the game 1 minute, but all plays would be reviewable. I think that's coming after this.
Now they have it as a judgment call. Can't review it.
Yeah, and I've always, you know, I've said this before. I'll say it again. You are so right about the pass interference. And before I ever heard you say that, for a couple of years, whenever there was a pass play on TV, I'm looking around the corners of the screen for a flag.
Absolutely.
Before they even hear it. Yeah, I'm always looking for a flag. You can't have that in any sport. You can't have that.
It's the most grievous penalty in football, and you don't allow it to be reviewed?
Well, there are so many layers to this. It's fascinating. It would, if they opened it up to review everything, it would extend the game a long time.
How?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Because you'd be saying that non-calls, non-flags, which this was, would be reviewable. And so that would add to a lot more challenges because...
No.
You have the same number of challenges.
Right. Well, if I have a successful challenge, right, a successful challenge means
challenge.
I get the challenge back. So right now the NFL averages 1.4 challenges per game. If you open it up, it's going to be at least... add two challenges a game at least, and that's what the league doesn't want. I don't care as a fan.
I say speed up the process. Speed up.
I don't care as a fan.
I don't think Tim. I know where Steve's getting at. TV. Yeah, 10 minutes over having a bogus call like that in a playoff game.
Yeah, I'm all for it. But they have just a lot of little work to do to figure out. Okay, because here's Belichick. Right, he's going to be the first guy to hire people to sit in the booth. Okay, and I want you to watch every receiver. You're in charge of the slot guy. You're in charge of each outside guy.
That's true.
I want you to watch every play. If you see a hold, a hand on a receiver after 5 yards, you get to me. We're going to challenge every damn play.
Well, you got to be judicious. Since you only have,
I'm going to win the challenge.
I'm going to win the challenge because the league would have to, if they open it wide open, it's going to be tough. Because even Dirk Cutter would have said, all right, you know what? I'm going to sign one guy in the booth to just watch Mike Evans. And if he's touched, the second he's touched after 5 yards, I want to know we're going to challenge.
Like Iris, you could always tweak it saying you can only use one challenge a game on an interference call.
Well, there's ways to tweak it.
Yeah, A doesn't lead to B here.
I also think the process takes too long. Like, I think it's taken too long.
Well, obviously. Yeah, they can shave that off, no question.
Shave that off.
The whole
off.
Thing's messy. Look, and I know everybody's crying about what happened to the Saints, and I get it, but, you know, the guy in the Rams caught that deep shot, and as he's going to the end zone, he gets a face mask, and he goes down. And then the Rams ended up kicking a field goal on that drive.
Wasn't Goff face masked as well one time?
You know, I mean, they miss face masks all the time.
And Steve's right. Steve's right about that. I was going to say something else
Maybe reviews should be judged from a New York office.
Perhaps. Well, then it gets real messy. And then you're starting to, you know.
Welcome to baseball.
I think hockey does that.
Baseball does.
Yeah, not just that, but and this is a pet peeve of Florio's. With gambling becoming more and more legal across the nation, pretty soon you're starting to wonder who's getting paid off.
And they don't want to take that authority away from the officials.
It's messy now. I hope they fire those officials. How could they let them back in?
A whole crew, not just one, but a whole crew. Exactly. How could they all miss that?
Somebody could have overruled that, couldn't they? Somebody could have thrown a flag.
Guys throw flags 40 yards away on a hold, but they couldn't see that? Come on, give me a break. Now, to Steve's point, I can't really slip my wrist over Saints fans. I feel bad for them, but you know what? The Bucs got screwed out of the playoffs on a bad call. Winslow against Detroit, he got called for push-off when it was actually defensive interference. That changed NFL
history. But Lee, remember, they were victims of the Minnesota Miracle last year. That's their own fault.
Well, that.
But that's 2 years in a row for Saint fans. That's rough takes.
True, but that had nothing to do with the referees.
Well, no, it did.
Again, I remember that Detroit game when the Bucs had a touchdown taken off. They lose in overtime. And that cost him a tiebreaker with the Packers. Packers went on to win the Super Bowl. I'll never forget that.
How the heck was the Chiefs, the Edelman punt that was ruled on the field that it touched him, Chiefs ball? How was that overturned? You can't overturn that unless you have overwhelming evidence. Did you see overwhelming evidence that he didn't touch that ball? I don't understand that.
Ira, you could argue this stuff every week in the NFL.
How do you overturn the official
easy
call?
Chiefs fan, easy.
I didn't like it one bit.
Ira, speaking of getting screwed, Bucs fans are upset because the London game was announced, which is the Buccaneers' home game that they'll lose this season, and they'll be facing the Panthers in London at a date to be determined in April when the schedule comes out. But to lose a division game, that's tough. That's not like, you know, oh, well, we were going to play the insert your AFC team. You lose a division game, that should be an advantage. And what do you think of that?
I think that's a fair point. Now, you know, if you're going to pick a game, I don't think Carolina travels that well, so...
you think that place is going to be sold out with Bucs fans in London? Come on.
I think it's a fair point, Lee, that there's three division games out of your eight-game home schedule, so why pick one of those three to move overseas. You know, go pick the Colts game or something.
The NFL can, on one hand, harp on how division games are important, then you throw one over in London.
If I'm the Bucks, I'm trying to fight that. Steve, where's the behind-the-scenes bickering?
It's too late.
That proves it. That, I've been saying this for a long time.
Ed Glazer's got to show some clout.
Well, exactly. I've been saying this for a long time, and this is just another example. Glazers don't have clout with
where's
the league.
Where's the juice? Where's the juice?
They have none. They have no clout with the league.
Yeah, look at Jameis. Look at what happened to Jameis.
Yeah, you don't see Jerry.
Well, he didn't get six games. He didn't get six games, Jameis. Are you saying he shouldn't have been suspended at all?
You can interpret it a lot of ways. All right.
You don't see Jerry Jones having a division game over in London, do you? Now, I don't know about Kroenke. He may have.
Have they announced all the London games?
Yes.
Are any of the other ones division games?
I'd have to look it up.
Notice?
I don't recall.
I didn't look yet, okay. Sage.
All right.
But they have, you know, the five international games, four in London, one in Mexico City.
Fair point by Isbitz, as usual. Your first priority, win your division. And so this has an impact on that.
I think it's Chiefs-Chargers that are playing in Mexico City.
Oh, Chiefs-Chargers.
I just have an issue with the NFL. They always say division games are so important, and they are. But you can't say that on one hand, and on the other hand, throw them internationally. That's not right.
And the flip side, it's a break for the Panthers. It's a break for the Panthers.
Is it?
Instead of a road game, going to Tampa. And the Bucs have been a decent home team. Terrible road team, but a decent.
Come on,
team.
Ira. It's a terrible home team.
Not terrible.
Oh, come
terrible.
On.
Horrible.
Horrible, Ira.
Come on, now.
Who's got a worse home record since Chucky was gone?
The worst.
Only one team.
They were 4-4 this year. They were 4-4. You know,
since Chucky left, they're brutal.
They're brutal. Well, they're 1-7 on the road the last 2 years, Lee. What do you
well,
call
it's
that?
A horrible team, period, end of sentence. Now, I can't say that Carolina lucks out. They got to travel overseas, too, when that's only, a two-hour flight to Tampa?
Well, it's not that bad from Charlotte.
Well, that's what I mean. Two hours, maybe?
Well, you know what? It's going to happen, and that's that. So
I expect both of you guys to be in London.
But you know what the Glazers
I have no passport, and I don't think Steve does either.
No interest in going, Ari. You know what I expect the Glazers
Steve,
to say?
Steve, I can see you in front of Buckingham Palace. I really can.
Glazers now, if they had that in Germany or Italy, I'm gone,
you're
man.
Gone. You're
but
gone.
England, eh.
I can't get to Phoenix in March. What do you mean you're gone?
Well, you got to deal with this driving. You don't deal with driving in England. And I know we have some loyal British citizens that listen. It's nothing against Britain, but, you know, we live here, you know, in the colonies. And if I got to pick someplace internationally to go to, London's not on the top of the list. I'm sorry. Rome,
this
sure.
This is a rollicking podcast.
You know what the Glazers say to Bruce Arians about the London game? Win. Don't embarrass us out there. We got all our connections.
Hey, you guys send me, and then I take an extra week. I go to Manchester. I find out everything that's going on over there. I think it makes perfect sense.
As I told the commish, Justin Pulaski, on Twitter this morning when he was talking about going to London, I said, stash your cash for Vegas next year. You got to think of that, too.
All right.
2020.
I were on the strip for a week in Vegas.
2020, we're talking about.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah, next year. Yeah, it's 2019. All right, Ira, last two nuggets quickly.
That could be my last year. I might retire after that.
Oh,
that's ridiculous, Ira. That's ludicrous.
You never know. You never know.
Ludicrous, Ira. Come on.
I'll give you all my shirts.
Poor Ira. Poor Ira can't do one column a week from his home.
We'll work it out.
Come on. That's ridiculous.
Can't do a podcast a week. He's too busy.
He's going to retire.
He's too busy going to visit the grave of who died just recently.
Bob Kuchenberg.
Not Kuchenberg. who's the singer?
Phil Everly?
No, woman. Carol Channing. Carol, he's going to visit the grave of Carol Channing.
I will be talking to the Publix deli guy for half an hour and be like, I should have been paid for a podcast.
Hold on, I think I should get this on the podcast. It ramps up the pressure on this bit.
You got a Carol Channing story?
Steve, what if you get to Phoenix, you get 10 minutes with Joel Glazer, the first thing Joel Glazer says is, where's Kaufman? What are you going to say?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what's wrong
Steve,
with your
you got to have an answer.
All right, Ira. All right, you know what? Next podcast, we're going to have an interesting, we'll put it out there in an interesting way on your Phoenix desires.
Maybe we get our listeners to chip in, you know, $10 a piece. We got 39 listeners, $390.
I'm
on the way to Phoenix.
I think your listeners would rather see you in Vegas.
Go ahead, Steve.
Ira on the strip, man. You imagine a video? That would be hilarious.
Oh, hilarious. I'll wear my Favre jersey, too. Go ahead.
What? Favre jersey?
Quan Alexander. He put out some video. He's working out at $1. You see him pushing doing some leg presses.
Don't push it, Quan. Don't push it. Plenty of time.
He clearly had surgery in November. And, you know, Bucks have a big decision to make. There's other guys out there. New coach in here. What do you think happens? Your early take. What do you think happens with Quan?
I think they get him on the cheap.
Yeah.
They get him on the cheap. I think Arians' Bowles, in particular, is going to look at the tape and say, I can work with this guy. I love his passion. I love his energy. I can refine his game, calm him down, and get him to be a heck. And if they go to a 3-4, he'd be a hell of a fit as an inside linebacker.
You know, you sold me. You sold me.
Thank you.
The reason why I say that, and I have nothing against Quan. I like Quan a lot, but, you know.
I don't know if I want him calling defensive signals. That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story. And, you know, to me, it's a hurdle when I see that a guy who's supposed to be so good, and I'm not saying he's bad, but the guy is supposed to be so good, but he's on the most pathetic defense we've ever laid
and
eyes on.
And he was there for 6 weeks, and they played 6 weeks of lousy defense.
And when he got hurt, they got better. That's like
I
that's
don't
like
draw
a wait
conclusions.
A minute. That's like a tap the brakes kind of moment. But I love Quan's heart and passion. Like you said, he can't pass it up. And your friend, I guess he's all our friends. He's a great guy, Ian Beckles. He said, you know, he was going off on DeSean Jackson and Brent Grimes on one of his podcasts, and he didn't refer to Grimes this way, but he certainly did with DeSean Jackson. You know, he said with Quan, there's no doubt where his heart lies. With those other guys, nah.
I think you get him on the cheap, Steve. By the way, you mentioned Grimes. I'll say it again. I said it a couple weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. He's got to retire. Grimes has to retire after making those remarks. I can't imagine anybody would pay him any money.
Well, the one remark, he's going to have a hell of a time walking back that comment that he wasn't paid enough to cover a certain receiver.
Yeah.
All right, Ira, look, we'll be debate, I'm sure, at $1 on Quan if they find out he's not ready till September 1st for contact. That's tough with a brand new scheme and a whole system.
I hate to let a young guy like that go. I hate to let that guy go. Somebody's going to take him.
Sure.
In free agency, if you don't get your hooks into him, I'd like him back.
All right, Sage, final thoughts?
Go Chiefs.